Hymn 154. This is our third period class. It is titled Recovering Lost Sheep, When and How. We'll call now upon our brother Harry Tennant to lead us in this study.
What we have to determine, my dear brethren, in both the question of applying ecclesial discipline and also in this matter of recovering of lost sheep, is what our main objective is. And our main objective, I take it to be, to maintain the standard of belief and practice which forms the basis on which the ecclesia rests. That's what we're seeking to do as an objective. And with that, we have the care of our membership, who have accepted that basis and may, for whatever reason, have departed from it. How would you define, for example, a lost sheep? What definition do you think you would apply? I suppose we'd say, well, it's somebody who has departed from us, either of their own volition, or because the Ecclesia has found it necessary to apply withdrawal. Now, we'll soon see that that definition is inadequate. It really does not cover all the cases. It seems to cover them all, as most kind of definitions do. You can make a thing extremely simplistic, and then you discover, in fact, that in applying it, you have to be much wider or deeper in the things that you apply. So, let us start, first of all, with how we care for our sheep. We've been into a number of ways in which we do this, and that is by the proper feeding of the sheep and the proper fellowship of the sheep, that the Ecclesia seeks to have sufficient meetings whereby everybody is brought together, and that the meetings themselves are made to be meaningful in a deep, moving, instructive way. And so that the breaking of bread is a real breaking of bread, not a perfunctory service, but a true remembrance. And this doesn't require that we should have any elaborate means of doing it, and it doesn't require some special erudition. You haven't got to be an educated person in order to do it. What it means is that we are instructed in the Word of God, and this means so much to us. We are certain that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, has been raised from the dead, and now is our mediator at the right hand of God for us, as the Scripture says, and that he will return again, and that he both presides over, is actively interested in, and is in fact involved in the life of the Ecclesia. For that first chapter of Revelation, which speaks of Christ walking among the candlesticks, tells us indeed that he moves about in these parts and in every part of the world. That in fact, the work that we undertake as those who are the servants of the Ecclesia, and we may not want to use the word elders, we may not even want to use any word that suggests that we have a first century function, which they were able to exercise by means also of the Holy Spirit. But whichever term we apply, we know what it is that we are engaged in. We are brethren upon whom a certain responsibility has devolved, and we've got to put that responsibility into true practice. All I can say, brethren, is that the only way to do this as individuals is ourselves to be sincere, dedicated in our service to the truth, constantly on our knees in prayer, aware of our Ecclesia and of all its members, and all its members' names should pass through our lips in prayer, so that we individually are caring individuals. We are constantly recalling our Ecclesia to our mind. And if we do that, then when we meet together as arranging brethren, that's not a strange thing to be doing. We are now doing together what we do alone in our own homes. If we have this care and exercise it, then we shall find that our work as arranging brethren will be not only easier, but much more effective. In fact, my own experience of this has been that when the great problems have come along, that it has been the awareness of the personal involvement of Christ in the Ecclesias that has been the greatest comfort. That he's not remote, that he knows every sheep by name. We know that from Scripture. And that his great caring instinct was to recover those who were lost while maintaining the standard of the whole flock. And that's what we're going to seek to do together. The arranging brethren should carry out regular reviews of the ecclesia. I mentioned that in our ecclesia, every alternate arranging brethren's meeting, and we meet monthly, every other one is one that is specifically directed to welfare matters. And by welfare, we mean welfare in the widest sense, not just the needy person, the person who has a problem, but a total review of the ecclesia, what our feeling is. I know that when I get back, my name will be before the arranging brethren. And it will be because we have somebody who gathers all those who have been absent from the breaking of bread for 3 Sundays or more, and they are reported to the arranging brethren, and the arranging brethren decide what to do about them. So since I would have been away for 3 Sundays, that's what will happen. And it's useless saying to the brother who does it, well, you know where Brother Harry was. He said he's been away for 3 weeks. But you know where he's been away for 3 weeks. So the name comes up. Now, that's good, because it means that all names come up and we have to decide what to do. I don't know how you do your welfare affairs in your ecclesia. I'll tell you how we do it, and there may be some good things in this. You may have better ways of doing it. We divide the ecclesia up into sections, over each section is appointed a welfare brother and sister. So they have the care of those in that section. And that means that if they're absent, they're followed up. If they're sick, they're cared for. If they've got spiritual problems, then they come to the attention of the welfare person. Now that works extremely well, provided the welfare workers are diligent in their duty. We have one brother and his wife who are extremely diligent. We've just been through an experience where a sister who married out of the truth, I suppose now it must be 50 years ago, has just died. Her husband is hopeless, totally hopeless, would not cooperate in allowing us to see her while she was ill, and so on. Always had a superior attitude, for no reason at all. He's got nothing to be superior about. The brother who was the welfare officer worked and worked and worked at him, you know. And although in the end only one or two people saw the sister fleetingly, in the end the husband was in fact not merely willing, but wished to invite this brother into the house. Now, that may seem to be a nothing at all. All I can say is that when the rest of us took any kind of comfort or solace to the sister, we had to leave it on the doorstep. We were not admitted. And therefore, finally to be taken into the house was in fact a great step forward. And that was done by a very persistent welfare officer. Not a young man, he is 77. And yet he carried out that duty with great diligence. Now the welfare officers are in fact in touch with our assistant recording brother. So anything that needs to be reported is reported to him. He gathers everything together. So when we have our welfare meeting, we go through those who need to be cared for because they have need of some kind or another. And then we have those who have to be cared for because they are those who are bad attenders or, you know, are in some way slipping. So we have a look at each of these and decide what it is that we need to do. Now, I don't know how you do it in your ecclesia, but we all need to keep in touch with everybody. Now, as you can see, the attendance register formed a basis for part of what we do in our ecclesia. And it serves a whole range of functions, the attendance register, but here it is a trigger. It prompts the arranging brethren. And so our information comes together in that way. And both of those sources, together with the third source, which is that individual brethren and sisters become aware of the needs of another individual or another family, which might not come to the welfare brother and sister. That too is then fed in, because if it's anything that needs to be done by arranging brethren or appointed by them, then the information comes to them. Now you know how difficult it is to keep in touch with certain people in your ecclesia. Every ecclesia throughout the world has some fringe members. Now, it doesn't matter how you define your fringe members. You know, if you decide that after 2 weeks you're going to disfellowship them, well, your fringe is 2 weeks, and you'll always have somebody who runs up to the 2 weeks. Now, I know that none of us do that, but the fact is, wherever your fringe is, there is always somebody who is on that fringe. There is always somebody in the ecclesia that doesn't want to be, for whatever reason, and sometimes it's just their personality, does not want to be, as it were, in the body of the ecclesia. You can talk to them and talk to them, but they never appear to be wholly part of the ecclesia. Doesn't it be anything deliberate at all? It's just as though they have a certain privacy within that they're not in any way willing to surrender. Now, you've got one or two in your ecclesia, we have in ours. You work away at it. Just keep on working away. You can't remove it. Some always seem to be aloof or a little to the side. And we just have to persist and persist in keeping in touch. It's always been the same, and I'm sure it was the same right back in Moses' day and right through. It was certainly true in the times of Brother Roberts and Brother Thomas, because in 1868, Brother Roberts wrote to Brother Thomas that he didn't know what was becoming of Christadelphia. He had no idea. He felt, you know, that we were on, as it were, a disaster course. And Brother Thomas, in replying, said that he agreed with him. Now, in actual fact, the truth survived. But those two responsible brethren had exactly the feeling that some of us get, either in our ecclesia or in our country from time to time, where events take place that seem to shake us altogether, or there's such dilatoriness or apathy, or perhaps such failure to be totally moral that we despair. Well, we mustn't despair, brethren. That's the last thing that arranging brethren have got to do, is to despair. What you learn in time is that you will hear nothing that finally surprises you. When we are first made arranging brethren, we get surprises. As time goes on, there is nothing, nothing at all, that finally surprises you. I can remember landing with a small ecclesia, a very small ecclesia. I don't think it had got a dozen members. And I landed there by plane, I can remember, only to learn that that morning one of the brethren had been arrested. Now, you know, that's enough for any ecclesia, isn't it? This was just a little ecclesia. Brother had been arrested for embezzlement of a considerable amount, $50,000, I think. Now, and it had persisted over a period of time. Now, it didn't surprise me just simply because I've met cases before, and that a brother should be in prison from time to time, I am not surprised, for I know that that is true of every continent, that some brother has been in prison. Very few, as a matter of fact, go to prison. I remember during the year of witness that we sent copies of our preaching material to the prisons, because they have libraries there, and so it was that we hoped that one or two of these things would get into the libraries. And we had one lot returned from one prison governor with the note, "We have no Christadelphians in this prison." So, which was heartwarming, but it wasn't. It wasn't quite what we intended. However, when you get that situation, then as an arranging brother, you have to be prepared to take it. Because you've only got to read the New Testament to realize this was going on all the time. You've only got to read Corinthians to see the problems that we are facing have been about always. You've only got to read the minor prophets to see that Israel was riddled with all kinds of things, was it not? And so they will, from time to time, occur amongst us. And then we have to learn, what do we do in these particular circumstances? And sometimes we do the right things, sometimes we do the wrong things. Very rarely do we do things that are irreparable, that can't be put right. And the real thing is, remember, get all the facts. Take time in making a decision. Just take time in making it. And do it prayerfully together. All our Arranging Brethren's meetings should commence with a reading of the Word of God and with prayer. That is a stabilizing influence in the Ecclesia. However important the Arranging Brethren's meeting is, whatever business you've got, read at least one of the daily readings and talk about it for a little time. You'll find it's a great comfort. And, time and time and time again, as you know from personal experience, the daily readings actually has your problem in it, in some form or another, with some advice as to what you should do. So don't make them just matters of business, but make Arranging Brethren's meetings matters of devotion. And so, for example, at our welfare meeting, we conclude in a prayer in which everybody who has been considered is mentioned in the prayer. So that all of us are aware. We could do a blanket prayer. And in some ways it would be equally acceptable. But for our own benefit, we've got to bring the names to mind. And bringing the names to mind means to say that we are caring. We've got to do something. It's no use just simply bringing them to mind. It means that we have to do something. Now, how do we keep, then, not only ourselves in touch, but how do we keep these fringe members in touch with us when I say they're so elusive? Well, these are some of the methods, I think. You can have an ecclesial newsletter. Now, if your ecclesia doesn't have a newsletter, you might say, well, I don't know what we put in it. The fact is, you put about the ecclesia in it. The person who's on the fringe doesn't know what's happening. Doesn't know that Sister So-and-so has been admitted to hospital. Or that this family's had a baby. Or that we've had an addition to the meeting. And so the newsletter is a means of keeping fellowship going. And a little paragraph or two in it of exhortation can be useful. And what is more, when the newsletter goes into the home of the fringe member, and how frequently the fringe member is in fact somebody who's married out of the truth. In fact, one of the greatest exhortations to somebody wanting to be married out of the truth is to say, you're now going into being a 50% Christadelphian by definition. And it works out that way. Just occasionally does it work out otherwise. But for the most part, when Paul says, when we're married, we've got, in actual fact, to care for our husband and care for our wife. And that means whether they're in the truth or out of the truth. And consequently, the newsletter is a means of keeping in touch. And it's a successful means, too, in some cases. Let's now come to the matter of continuing our way of keeping in touch. And I shall deal with some of those in dealing with cases. But we've dealt with some, the welfare officer, the individual brother and sister, the newsletter means of keeping in contact. Cases of potential difficulty. That is, the problem has not yet arisen, but we have spotted it beforehand. Here's a list. You probably can add to the list, but here's a list that I've produced for my own purposes. One, a hitherto good attender starts attending badly. Now, any of you who manages an office, this is one of the things you look out for with work, isn't it? A good worker suddenly becomes a bad worker, and you wonder what it is. Then you go into it, usually find it's domestic things or drink or whatever it is. Two, Someone who finds the, in inverted commas, friend outside the truth. Three, somebody who shows doubt about belief, about practice, or about themselves. All right, they show doctrinal doubt, they show doubt about the way we practice what we believe, or they feel doubtful about themselves. Where I'm not going to make it to the kingdom of God. Four, someone in a family or a whole family leading a highly social life. In other words, they've got friends outside, and what you can see is they've got a humdinger of a life, but it's not really in orbit around the truth. Five, somebody whose marriage is reportedly or clearly an unhappy one. Six, when there is dissension within the ecclesia, you can see that a cleavage is appearing for whatever reason. And seven, this is related to one of the others, but it is slightly different. Somebody who repeatedly voices in the ecclesia wrong or doubtful doctrine. Now that's a list of seven cases of potential difficulty. There's some actual difficulty within each of those. But by potential, I mean it's one of those that may finally land up as a major problem with the arranging brethren. And you'll think of other cases from your own personal experience. How do we set about, then, dealing with problems of this kind? The first thing to remember is this. It is always easier to keep a sheep in the fold than it is to recover one who is outside the fold. Now that gives the lie to, if provided we've disfellowshipped them, we've dealt with our problem, the fact is all we have now done is to deal with one problem and create another problem. Because we've got a lost sheep. And Christ died so there shouldn't be lost sheep, but should be a flock of God. That doesn't mean we don't have to withdraw, but the fact is that withdrawal is really a defeat for us. Not a success for us, it's a defeat for us. We've lost out in that. And in some way, we've got to seek, if possible, to be able to come in at an earlier stage. And so we better set to work on those problems that I've given. Those problems that I've given, that list of seven, now takes us back to that first definition, that lost sheep are those who have gone out of the meeting of their own accord, or have been disfellowshipped. That list of seven now shows that there are people who are lost or being lost, but they are still within the ecclesia. That's why the first definition was incomplete. And so what we need to do is to find some way of recovering in cases of this kind. Recovery doesn't come about by merely wishing for it. You can't just sit and hope. And it doesn't just come about just by praying for it. What we've got to do is to be active in recovery. All shepherds are active. A natural shepherd is an active person with his sheep, knowing everyone by name, sympathizing with sheep, knowing his sheep, knowing their peculiarities, and knowing how to tend for them when they're happy and when they're unhappy, when they're well and when they're unwell, and how to tend for them when they seem to be somewhat disjointed from the rest of the flock. The arranging brethren should discuss all of these cases at their meetings, whether at the welfare or whatever kind of meeting it is, they should be discussed. Not saying, we're going to have a problem, you know, with Joan in due course. When Joan's already got a boyfriend outside. Something needs to be done. Something has to be done. When we come to the end of the road, you know, some people say, well, as soon as they get married, then we disfellowship them. And that too is defeat. What we have now done is to fail to secure that person properly. So what we need to do is to act at an earlier time. Not as ogres or monsters in the ecclesia, but people who've got actual concern. And so... somebody who is compassionate, who is able to point out the dangers, to administer a word of reproof, and to do it in such a way that the care is for the person concerned and for the honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reproof properly administered very frequently turns people the right way. And it needs to be done from time to time. In whatever form it's done, it has to be done. Urgency sometimes dictates that we do it right away. Must be done now. But if that's true, then we've got to follow up that case right away. But there are some where we can tread more gently and more quietly, just by taking a kindly interest. The trouble is, with the people concerned, they are elusive people very frequently. You know, if you want to talk to me, you can talk to me. If I want to talk to you, I can talk to you. You want to say, well, I didn't agree with what you said, Brother Harry, I understand. Well, you make your point to me, because we're brethren, and we're both here, and therefore we can talk. With these people, very frequently, you can't talk, because they're not there. And so you have a problem, and therefore you have to take the initiative in some way, and to see what it is that you can do to help them to secure their discipleship, and to make it a lot better than it is already. Some of these problems are such that the whole ecclesia needs to be instructed. There are times when the problem is such that a whole ecclesia needs to be instructed, and so the arranging brethren decide that we will deal with this matter. Now, we've done that in our own ecclesia about certain matters, that we felt that, there's going to be a Bible class evening on this. Occasionally an arranging brother will take matters up in the exhortation. That's a very delicate matter, because you mustn't get at people through exhortation any more than we should get at people through prayers. You sometimes hear prayers that are obviously not directed to God at all. They're having a go at somebody. And that is both an offence to God and also an offence to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are scriptural ways in which we should deal with matters. And it's not by getting at people through prayer, nor by getting at them in the exhortation over the breaking of bread. But there are times when in the breaking of bread, a positive, constructive exhortation can in fact be an instruction to the whole ecclesia. Now, that responsibly done and properly done is extremely helpful. So that nobody feels that they've been slammed down, but rather that they have been headed off from some kind of disaster and have seen a better way by positive instruction rather than just being negative by the thou shalt nots. So whichever way we care to do these things, we've got to keep our ecclesia informed. Sometimes you can do it in the newsletter, if you have one, and just open out a page in the newsletter where there are comments on the dangers of this or the happiness that stem from this other course. And they're useful. But we've got to do something. And as arranging brethren, if we fail to do something, we carry that responsibility. This is the exhortation in Ezekiel. If you've got a trumpet and you know the enemy is there and you haven't sounded the trumpet, he may leave the truth, but you will be accountable for it. That's the instruction of Ezekiel. And it's very powerful. And we as arranging brethren will have to give account for the sheep that we have lost. Not a question of those who have gone out and we have withdrawn from them. We shall have to account ourselves for why it is we who were caring for the flock lost sheep. It may well be that the explanation is a good explanation, that we're able to give a good account of ourselves. But remember, we are responsible. We can lose sheep by neglect of good scriptural admonition. We can lose sheep by that. And therefore we've got to make quite sure that we have discharged fully our responsibility. I know some brethren don't like the use of the word leadership. We should show leadership. I understand exactly what the objection is. And I object to leaders of the kind that you might have in mind. But we've got to show those qualities of character and behaviour that lead the right way, that show the right way by the way that we behave. That there's more than one way of leadership, and good leadership can be by example. And it's not necessarily a hierarchy over the ecclesia, not that at all, but rather brethren who by their personal behaviour show the right way. How can an arranging brother not be at the Bible class? Now, how can he? I know we may have reasons, you know, when we've got young children or whatever reason of that kind. I'm talking about by personal choice not being present. Don't use talking to the ecclesia if we're not examples. Arranging brethren should always be present at the Bible class. They should be present at all ecclesial meetings. So that by example, and not only by example, it's only by being there that you know about the ecclesia. And the Bible class is the place where the temperature of the ecclesia can be best measured. The Bible class is always smaller than the total ecclesia, but it consists of a heart, a core of brethren and sisters. So if you haven't been going to the Bible class, then remember that I believe, and I'm sure all of us will if we reflect on it, that you can't be an effective arranging brother if you do not attend all the meetings. Seek to attend. What about the bad cases then? These other cases that we've had whereby we give encouragement in one way or another and have somebody who makes contact with them and befriend them and instruct them and point the way. What about the bad cases when they arise? Despite opinions to the contrary, our community is not a community that's always cutting people off. Very rarely does an ecclesia have to do that. Just as an indication, which of the ecclesias here present has in fact had to disfellowship in the last 6 months? Right, that's nobody. You know, there are those who think we are a vicious community. Now, very frequently that arises because the tendency is to say that we should never disfellowship. Now, that can't be right either. It's because Scripture makes it plain and tells us to do that in certain cases. It happens that we do it. The Church of England never does it because it doesn't know which is inside and which is outside. The Roman Catholic Church does it, but it does it by excommunication. The evangelicals would do it with us if we joined them and spoke about our faith. They would make quite certain that we were excommunicated. And so I think that what we've got to do is to remember we have a work to do that from time to time means that there are people who will be withdrawn from, but that will only be after we have done all that it is possible to do. Here are cases, then, that you may consider are cases where withdrawal is necessary. One, someone who, despite all efforts, falls away through neglect or indifference. Not doing anything positive, some great sin, but just withers. Two, somebody who marries out of the truth. Now, practice varies on that one, I know that. It's varied right from the beginning of our community, right from the times of Dr. Thomas. Three, marriage breakdown leading to divorce. Four, unchristlike behavior in the meeting. Five, unchristlike behavior outside the meeting, away from. Six, belief and persistence in wrong doctrine. And last, regular attendance at other places of worship. That's become a phenomenon because there are people who attend some of these evangelical places of worship. Not likely so much now, I think, in the United States after the PTL scandal. But certainly it's something that's happened in other parts of the world, in both hemispheres. Now, what is our responsibility then after we have withdrawn from somebody? Do we seek to recover somebody? When do we seek to recover them? And how do we go about it? Those are questions, eh? We've all known of cases who have come back into the truth. We can all cite those. In fact, there may be one here, somebody who in actual fact has done that and is now solidly in the ecclesia, may even be an arranging brother. We're all aware of them. So it is possible to recover lost sheep. And so we need to know, how do we ourselves go about it? There are some people who feel that having washed their hands of a problem, it's a good thing, it's outside and we've finished with it and that's it. And so if you stand this way, you don't see anything at all. Now that's not good enough. The person outside is still called a brother. Corinthians tells us that. He hasn't become Mr. So-and-so. He is still brother so-and-so, though he's on the other side of the door. So we need to know how we might go about recovering lost sheep. What I would say is that we're not very good at this task. I don't think, as a matter of fact, we place as much stress on recovery of lost sheep as we do on losing sheep. In fact, if we were to go around and say, have I been engaged as much in recovery of a lost sheep as I have been in concern about somebody who is on the way out? My answer would be no, I haven't been as good in seeking to recover as in the others. Now, there are reasons for this for all of us, because we have a certain helplessness in some ways. There are certain people that you say, well, I don't know what we could do in that case. And should we do anything? And should we do it now? If so, how should we go about it? Let me give some methods whereby it might be possible to recover lost sheep. They're not foolproof methods. They are some methods, all right, that somebody keeps in regular contact. By whatever means, that somebody keeps in regular contact. Two, that the ecclesial newsletter is sent specifically to ones who are lost, just to keep them in touch. Three, that we should try to have a... Now, we haven't done this in Watford, so this is a method... These are methods that I myself have thought up. We've never tried this one. An evening whereby we just invite them to come to the meeting room for... The word social function is wrong, but a contact evening. Not an evening where they're going to be addressed in any way, but a contact evening. A way in which we might see them. Four, that we might know a member of another ecclesia who is in regular contact with one of the sheep we have lost. By dint of being a member of the family or business or whatever it is. And that they might prove useful in reforging the links. Five, that we might, one or two of us, begin to offer hospitality to such people. Invite them round for a meal. Six, sometimes one of our members moves into another area, moved away, out of fellowship with us, but they've moved away to another area for work. Put the ecclesia locally in contact with the information, at least, to say, those people used to be members of our ecclesia. It may be that another ecclesia is able to do what we ourselves were not able to do. Next, occasionally, the Sunday school becomes the vehicle of contact. Very frequently, people who themselves have gone out of fellowship liked their children to come to Sunday school. As you know, lots of people like to go and make their children go to Sunday school when they attend no church or chapel, which is an admission, in fact, that they know that that way of life is a better way of life. Now, through the Sunday school, then, we may be able to make contact with the parents. On the prize-giving day, or on the Sunday school outing day, Sunday school party day, or having such an evening whereby the parents of Sunday school children are invited to the meeting. We have those about four times a year in our ecclesia. We have a number of Sunday school scholars whose parents are not in the truth. They haven't been disfellowship, they've never been in. And we regularly have meetings, and they come along, and we hope from that sometime that we shall get some fruit. And last of all, sending an invitation to such people to special events. When you've got some special event in the ecclesia, special lecture, or whatever it is, just make contact with them. Now, one of those may work in cases that you have. But at least they are suggestions. They are ways of getting through. I know there are people who are hopeless to recover. Totally hopeless. They are sinful and they're continuing in sin. And they don't want to know anything different. Maybe they're on their third wife and so on. We're all aware of this. But never assume that a person deep in sin wants to be there. Never assume that. We had a person who came to us, I remember, out of sin, deep sin for a long time. And it was she who said that people think that sin is enjoyable. It isn't, she said, it's horrible. So it may well be that somebody who seems to be steeped in sin is in fact only waiting, aching, for some kind of deliverance, and we may be able, at some time or another, to be helpful in that way. So, the people who are persistent in sin, it may be possible that some little contact will turn them round, and they'll come back to us. You will know somebody, in some ecclesia who has been bad, 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 and now is totally different. There are others who are just in the middle, just wavering. And one of those methods of making contact that I've mentioned may be a method for these people. Just married out of the truth and feel that it's the end, it's all over now. When in actual fact there's more to be done, and it's certainly possible to make a recovery that might bring the whole family, turn the whole family around. And what we need to do is to have somebody who's willing to talk and make them willing to listen, just by being interested in their family, their children, making the occasional mention of the truth, until finally the person says, "And how is Sister so-and-so?" You're able then to say, "She's fine. Like to meet her? Come to tea. I'll see that she's there." And you've now begun to build a bridge. And you never know which bridge it is that you're going to build. We'd always like it to be the doctrinal bridge. It may never be that as the first step. Maybe something entirely different. Maybe just because a child plays the violin, that you're able to make some kind of contact. Whatever it is. And those who've been swallowed up in the social round, they get sated after a time. Just make contact with them and try to see that there's a better domestic life. Well, I better stop there. I've got more notes here on other ways of recovering. They will come out in the questions. Thanks for all the questions. We could have done without four talks, judging by the number of questions that have come in. But I know they've been stimulated by the talks themselves, and what we'll seek to do is to satisfy when we come to that point.